The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Some Greeks who had come to worship the Passover feast came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we would like to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will preserve it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there also will my servant be. The Father will honor whoever serves me. I am troubled now. Yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and will glorify it again." The crowd there heard it and said it was thunder, but others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. Now is the time of judgment on this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself." He said this, indicating the kind of death he would die. The Gospel of the Lord. The words of God, our sins be wiped away.
In March 24th of 1980, Archbishop Oscar Romero in El Salvador knew that it was just 1 week until the start of Holy Week. He wished to spiritually prepare to enter those sacred mysteries of the high point of the Christian year. And so he went to confession, along with a day of recollection for priests, a bit of a day retreat. And as he approached confession, his heart was quite heavy, not just with his own weaknesses, but because of the real suffering he had seen among his people, mostly at the hands of government oppression. The government was quite pleased in El Salvador when he was named bishop because he was quiet, a bit academic, and thought he would be easily manipulated. But what they found was a man of iron steel who fought for economic justice and opportunity for the poor and the marginalized, and especially religious freedom for his people. Without intervention, he went to the confession telling the priest, "I want to feel clean for Holy Week." And as a penance, the priest gave him Psalm 51, which we just heard. "Create a clean heart in me, O Lord." After that, he went to a cancer hospital to offer Mass, as was his occasional custom, for the staff and some of the patients. And at that Mass, he read the same gospel we just heard. And he preached. And I quote him. He says, "You just heard the gospel of Christ. We must not love our lives so much that we avoid taking the risks in life that history calls for. Those who seek to shun danger will lose their lives, whereas those who, for love of Christ, dedicate themselves to the service of others will live. They are like that grain of wheat that dies, at least in appearance. If the grain does not die, it remains alone. If it yields a crop, it is because it dies, allowing itself to be immolated in the earth. It is by being dismantled that it produces the crop." He later preaches, "I ask all of you, dear brothers and sisters, to view these things that are happening in our historical moment with the spirit of hope, generosity, and sacrifice. Let us do what we can. We can all do something and be more understanding." Just a few lines later, he finishes his homily, sits down for a moment of sacred silence, stands up and goes back to the altar, and that's when a gunshot fires and a bullet rips through his chest. A government-hired assassin had snuck into the chapel and drove away in a van. That man bore great fruit, not just evidenced by 250,000 people who showed up at his funeral, but even to this day, the people of El Salvador and beyond see him, even though they still have problems in their country, they see him as a champion of loving Christ and advocacy for those who are disadvantaged. That was only possible, that act of heroism and to preach such things, because he had died to himself. Which is precisely what our baptism asks of us. This is a theme I never preach at baptisms, but the imagery is even more profound when you have in the early church, they would immerse the person in the water, adults, children. The idea was you would die with Christ and be buried with him, and then only to emerge in new life with him. This makes more sense of when we read things like St. Paul's letter to the Romans when he says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." It's how he can later write into the Galatians, "I have died with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." I think the reason why the church gives us this gospel this one week before Holy Week, primarily because Lent, in its origins, was a 40-day preparation, not just for the whole church, but predominantly for the catechumenate, for those who are entering the church, those who are approaching baptism. And it's almost like this one last reminder. What are you approaching? You're approaching your death. But so that you might have new life. Life that actually will bear fruit. As long as we cling to our own life, there's no long-lasting spiritual fruit. And that's worthy of leaving behind. And for those of us who are baptized as infants, maybe that's lost on us. And I know it's just 2 weeks left in Lent. There's always time for us to renew a new dimension to Lent. It's almost like all of us entering into that RCIA process. We're beginning anew and approaching the sacred mysteries with fresh eyes and a renewed resolve to die to self for the sake of greater fruitfulness. And so then I look at myself and say, have I died to my selfishness in some way this Lent? Have I died to my self-centeredness, my pride, my complacency, my vanity, whatever is holding me back and attaching me to this life, I must die to it so that I might live in newness of life. The reality is, just like in the gospel, there were Greeks coming into town in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, which is interesting in itself. They're non-Jews. They approach Philip and they say what? We wish to see Jesus. What a beautiful line. We wish to see Jesus. And it's right here before the passion of Jesus. He is almost whisked away for a period of time in preparation for his passion. I think that's one of the historical origins, or at least theological origins, of why you see covered in purple cloth, our statues are covered up, even Christ. He's being whisked away, not that he be hidden from all of us, but so that he might give us the opportunity to be the witness of his presence. Do people see Christ in us? That's the fruit. That's the fruit of dying to self, so that Christ might shine through. The reality is the whole world is asking to see Jesus, whether they realize it or not. And we must allow them to get a glimpse of Christ. There's several historical characters, including Mahatma Gandhi, who have spoken so favorably of Christ and his teachings, but never converted. And they asked him about it. And he said, "Oh, I would if I saw one Christian who was converted." Our faith becomes more believable to an outside world when they see a fully converted heart, someone who is willing to die to their old life and live for Christ. I can't help but think of this theme in our current situation as people are returning to Mass, feeling a bit more free, more comfortable, more safe. For some of us who have been at Mass for quite some time, maybe a tendency might be to say, well, they're only coming back now because they didn't have enough faith. They weren't brave enough. I will not judge their intentions. All I know is Christ has called me this day with this gospel to die to myself, my preconditioned motives of whatever is the reason, and I must be Christ to whoever I meet. Lent is a grace-filled time, and I hope you've experienced some of those graces. Oscar Romero was declared a servant of God by John Paul II. He was beatified by Pope Benedict. He was canonized by Pope Francis. The process only had a brief delay because there was a group in Central America devoted to something called liberation theology, which heralded him as a hero. But the biographers of Oscar Romero make it clear that he had no interest in this Marxist ideology that crept into the church. All he cared about was dying to self, living for Christ, and advocating for those who were marginalized and poor. We may not have gunshots fired at us, but I know that heroism is called for in each of us, and each of our vocations provide those opportunities for death to self. Every married couple has these moments where I must die to my own will and my own comfort. Every parent has these moments to die to myself. When I am tired and frustrated by work, I will still die to myself and kneel down and pray with my children. I will get up if they were sick, whatever it might be. These moments are where Christ is calling us to live the baptismal life we've been given. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? The Lord Jesus wants us to bear abundant fruit, and it all begins with death to self.